This is Brunch with the Hollowells. Here's a quote from Sean.
This little boy is your poison. All that's left is to make him delicious.
Oh, I have no idea.
This, Rob, is Hulda, and she's speaking to Gretel from the movie Gretel and Hansel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you saw that one. I did not. I assumed it was a Hansel and Gretel movie, but I wasn't sure which one.
You know what I really liked about this movie is, like, without saying everything that it's about, it took this kind of different tone that we haven't seen with Hansel and Gretel, and it threw out the idea, like, what if Gretel was a witch, and what if Hulda, the witch who owns the house, wanted to train her in the ways of the witch, in the dark arts, if you will.
Well, that gives me more reason to check it out. Okay, well, I'm sure there are some horror fans out there who may have seen this movie. I wonder what they think. Well, that was a quote from Sean, and this is Brunch with the Hollowells. I'm Rob the Charm Fanatic.
And I'm Sean. I'm watching Charmed for the very first time.
The one who watched it for the very first time had a birthday yesterday, as we are recording this the day after. Sean, how was your birthday?
It was good. I didn't go to work because I hate working on my birthday, and I'm glad I didn't. And I went for a walk with Anthony and his dog around the park with masks on, and we ordered Red Lobster in, and then just a few friends that I've been seeing since the quarantine, just two came over, and we had like a little game night.
Did you happen to see the post on our page? There was a bunch of Charmy birthday wishes that was sent to you.
I know, and that was sweet. And I saw that one Charmy made a little image for me of me getting attacked by Prue.
Or maybe she was defending herself.
That's true. I'm a baddie.
Well, I am glad that you had a nice birthday. And this is one of many birthdays in quarantine. I look forward to them all.
I know. It starts.
Well, I did get a message directly into the Instagram page. This comes from Chip3030. He actually wrote based on the last episode that we just did. And he wanted to let you know, Sean, that you are not weird for not liking Cole.
Yes.
He notices that you sort of go on the defense when you bring him up. Yes, there may be some Cole fans out there, but it is okay to have a different opinion. And he happens to be one of those people that didn't really like him as much either.
Yay!
Yeah, so you have somebody else who kind of agrees, but yeah. That was a nice birthday gift, I guess.
It was.
So, no witch news for today, so we can actually get right to our episode. Sean, this is episode 14 of season 4. This also happens to be our 80th episode. Or I should say 80th recap episode, since we've done bonus episodes and stuff in between. But yeah, this is our 80th. And this is also a sort of Charmed Valentine episode because this aired on February 14th in 2002.
Wow.
It was written by Curtis Keel, directed by Joel J. Feigenbaum. Guest stars include Harry Von Gorkum as Curzon, Frances Bay as older Phoebe Hollowell, with Samantha Goldstein as young Phoebe Hollowell. And back once again, Debbie Morgan as the Seer. This episode scored 4.7 million viewers. So the episode starts off with Cole, who is walking through a very dark cavern with a sword in his hand. He enters the source chanting. Suddenly, the source pulls off his hood, revealing Cole's face. The source tells Cole that he has been reborn within Cole's body and he won't have a choice but to accept that they are now one. Just then, Cole wakes up sweating because it was all a nightmare. Ha, fooled you, didn't it?
Oh, well, I've seen The Empire Strikes Back. I know how these dark caves work, where Luke goes in, he fights Vader, the mask explodes, and it's Luke. This ain't no surprise for me what's going on with Cole.
Oh, I didn't know that was a Star Wars scene.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Cue the credits, and then we move on to... Well, actually, first, let me talk about how in Cole's dream, he's always shirtless. He just always sees himself without a shirt on, going after Cole, after the source. So, yay for Cole's dreams. We then go to Piper, who is cooking a very big breakfast to celebrate their vanquishing the source. However, only Leo is there on time. Paige orbs into the kitchen and lands on Piper. She's been practicing orbing from one location to another. Good for her. She needs to get to it. She's in a hurry to get to work, and Phoebe comes downstairs somewhat haggard. Leo gets a jingle and orbs out. And so Phoebe tells Piper, who is now alone with her, that she's worried about Cole. She feels like she had some kind of premonition about him, but something was blocking it. Piper thinks it's just cold feet. So did you notice how hungry Leo was? Piper just does not feed this man at all. He was starving at the table. Paige is like, yeah, I'm practicing orbing. He's like, yeah, just pass me the food. I just want to eat.
Right. Can this man not take care of himself? He can't just like go get a snack?
But yeah, he was hungry. And that breakfast actually did look pretty good. Mm-hmm. Half of the table must have had cold food just sitting there, but, you know, it's all for, you know, presentation, and it looked like it was a really good meal. I would be definitely celebrating after killing the source of all evil, but everybody just seemed to just say, just another day in the charmed world. Do you find it surprising that life sort of just went on, or there was no, like, huge celebration?
At this point, I don't know. Well, because Paige, all these P names, Paige mm-hmm. doesn't really know what's up yet. She's just been introduced to this world. So I guess the only one I'm surprised about would be, like, Phoebe. Leo, I feel like he's been through the ringer over and over already, so he's probably seen source-like enemies before, and he probably already kind of knows, like, they're going to be defeated because he's on the up-and-up with the angels, so... Just Phoebe, surprising.
Yeah. All right.
The seer gestures, and a surprised Cole flames into the underworld, much as the source did. Cole is very angry. He realizes that he is becoming the source, and he doesn't want to. The seer tells him it was all part of her vision, but the only reason the source hasn't completely taken him over is his love for Phoebe. But when it does, his power will shield him from her premonitions. She tells him of Curzon, one of the source's old rivals. He is making a move to take over as ruler of the underworld. Cole isn't willing to go alone, but the seer tells him that he will once the source has taken him over. Cole flames back out and finds himself in a bathroom in the manor. He runs into Phoebe, but hurries back out, claiming he has a migraine.
Cole is annoying. So you finally get a yes to like a 6-episode arc of you asking her hand in marriage, and you finally get it and you pull this shit. I mean, it's one thing to be dealing with some inner demons, literally, but when you have your bride to be, somebody you want to be with forever, trying to be there for you, the lies. But he refuses to tell Phoebe what's going on. There's a bit of hesitation, of course. He's clearly not fully evil, but something is keeping him from telling her the truth about what's going on with him. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask a similar question, because we get this in like all these different shows where their first instinct is to keep it. I guess mm-hmm. the only thing I could think of is he wants to try to deal with it on his own, and he doesn't want to scare her. But it makes more sense to me if you would just tell her, because they're witches, they could probably figure something out.
Yeah, I pretty much came to the same conclusion as you, Sean. And you know, he's a man, you know, they want to fix everything. They don't want to have to bring her into it and have to try and, you know, involve her and possibly get hurt. But again, I still think that there's a little bit of like, yeah, We'll see what happens. Why not? I could use some powers again. I'm not human anymore. You know, little stuff like that. There is a big pull that we have to understand. It's not just all Cole. Yes, definitely. But at the same time, he could have easily told her, you know, is this how this marriage is going to work? You're just going to keep shit from me every time some evil lurks, you know? But I'd have to say that they're not even that heavy into the engagement. I would have easily been like, we'll put it on pause because you're acting a fool and I don't have time for it.
Yep. I do like how when you talk about men, you refer to men as they, as if you're not a men. So I just wanted to point that out. That's how gay you are.
So we get a mention of this demon Curzon. He's obviously a former enemy of the Source. So just a little bit more about him. He's an extremely powerful demon. Curzon is an enemy of the Source who was banished from the underworld from inciting a failed coup. Although exiled, Curzon still seeks to destroy the Source and take over the underworld. He is too dangerous to be trusted. It's a little something for the Book of Shadows. Curzon is in a meeting with several of his allies to plan their next move. Suddenly, the Seer appears to him. She tells him that a witch is after him, but if he kills her first, it will all but assure that he will be the next Source. Paige is offered a promotion to a full-fledged social worker for having helped Carolyn from the last episode. So you see, we actually have a little bit of follow-up to all the confusion about the storyline from before. Did you already forget who Caroline was already, or did you follow?
No, I followed. I remembered Rob. She was the bitch that I complained about last week because her story didn't make sense.
All right, so due to the success of her getting her kid back, so we find out that it all went well. In the process, Mr. Cohen was passed over another, more experienced assistant. Paige is somewhat unsure about taking it, though, because of personal gain from using magic to help Carolyn. What do you think about Paige's reservation on immediately feeling bad that magic got her the job, or did she do the job?
Well, the first thing that I'll point out is thank you for congratulating me on noticing that Paige was getting personal gain last week by helping Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is right.
But yeah, I think it's a valid concern because the fact that they pointed out that the other guy is more experienced, and she even asked her boss, like, is this because of Carolyn? And he says, well, she definitely had a strong reason to do with it. So yeah, this is directly because she used that spell and helped Carolyn.
You wonder if the elders were testing her. Like, let's say she, you know, decided to take the job. Like, would she have consequences? Would they be, like, forced into the future and then her burnt at the stake, just like Phoebe was? But, yeah. So, do you think that it was complete personal gain? Do you think that's why she got the job, or it wasn't her hard work in before?
I'd say if she hadn't have used the spell to fix Carolyn's face, which I think we agreed didn't completely make sense, but she used magic to get the outcome. So had she not used magic, it would have been just her doing it, her hard work. But she cut a corner at the last moment, and because she cut the corner, she got the promotion. So I think it's related.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anybody who's listening, if you happen to have somebody at your job get a promotion, maybe something that you might be going for, just know they use magic to get it. Phoebe is staring at Balthazar's entry in the Book of Shadows when Piper comes up to the attic. Phoebe tells Piper that Cole is starting to avoid her, as in the days when he was still half demon. Piper suggests using magic to help her, which I thought was very interesting for her to do. Prue kind of did the same thing. There was a moment where she kind of let go and was like, yes, I said don't use magic, but you know what? Let's just use it, and hopefully we word it correctly in order for it to not be personal gain. So I was very happy with Piper, who sort of made that decision. I don't know if a spell is the right way to handle things. That is a very easy solution to come up with. But they are dealing with magical elements, I guess, in her, you know, decision on figuring out what's going on. Yeah, what did you think about Piper, like, just being like, yeah, go ahead and use magic? I mean, we're dealing with this more personal gain sort of thing now.
Yeah, we're definitely towing the line, like, a lot. And we see over and over again, whenever they use magic, it doesn't go exactly the way they plan. There's always some kooky side effect. So you think they would start to learn by now, like, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for.
Clever. That's going on a shirt. So I love Piper, though. She's like, just don't tell Paige, because I don't want her thinking she could do it too. And you know she would. But do you think it is possible that there is magic in the Book of Shadows that will give them an access to a spell without personal gain, but using it for something personal?
Probably not. That doesn't seem to be the show's MO. I feel like if they use it for personal gain or something that gives them personal gain, then it's going to test them in some way. So they learn, like, I did the wrong thing.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, you brought up this scene a couple episodes ago. Well, not an episode, in our Prue special that we had about Vane and how Piper cast a spell to find out who her true love was and where she should be going as far as the signs, and it was to help Prue instead. So it kind of knocked two birds with one stone, but I guess I don't know if it's fate or timing or just the way the powers that be made it so. That spell, I guess, gets a pass, or do you feel that that was also too personal gain for them?
That one more had to do, I feel, with, like, saving Prue, so I feel like that one, the personal gain isn't as much since they're the charmed ones and they have to be alive to save people.
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of agree. I don't know if it would be easy to just constantly turn to the book for some kind of magical solution to figuring out what's going on. You know, nothing good can come from this book. You got it? go ahead.
You just had to do it.
I just did.
So I do have to say, Rob, one thing about this episode, when they first show Phoebe, you know what immediately went through my mind?
Oh, God.
Courtney Cox, Scream 3, done right.
Really?
Her hair, to me, looks very similar. The way the bangs are cut, like, super short. And it's still not, like, my favorite hairstyle, but it definitely works better for her than it did for Miss Cox.
Ah, okay, I see.
Paige comes home and tells Piper about the promotion. She's convinced it's a personal gain backfire. Look at that. Somebody who used a spell that caused something to happen, and they actually went and told someone about it. This is new in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Suddenly, Curzon shimmers in and throws an energy ball at Paige. Paige orbs it to her hand and throws it back at Curzon, but misses. Curzon throws another energy ball at Paige. Paige orbs out of the way, but lands on the floor. Piper blows Curzon up, but he reconstitutes. Curzon didn't expect to have to fight two witches and shimmers out.
Damn her!
Piper calls for Leo, who tells them that the source's death has touched off a major power struggle in the underworld. Whoever manages to kill even one charmed one is guaranteed to take the throne. Piper, Paige, and Leo... Piper, Paige, picked a pepper... And Leo head up to the attic just as Phoebe is casting a spell to hear her heart's desire. My love strong, my spirit weak, it is an answer that I seek. The question burns within this fire, so I may hear my heart's desire. Added some flair.
That's how I'm reading spells, yeah.
An elderly woman and a small girl appear. The woman claims to be Phoebe's future self, and the girl also says her name is Phoebe. She turns out to be Phoebe from 1985 when she was 10 years old.
And there it is. Our three faces of Phoebe. Okay, so Sean, cheesy, interesting, brilliant, genius. What are you thinking right now?
I think it's interesting because... First off, Rob, it totally gives me X-Men vibes.
Yes, yes.
So, especially like with the time travel idea, and there was a recent, like within the last few years, comic where Beast doesn't like the way things are going with Cyclops, so he brings the original X-Men forward to the present, and it makes all this chaos happen. And then I'll get more into my X-Men vibes as we unveil more of this story.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I do want to point out that I enjoyed the action scene from earlier. It still had a little bit of comedic vibes in it with Paige not being able to get her landing down. But how Piper is just so chill about a demon attacking in her house. She's just looking up on the floor. She's like, okay, enough of this. Bye-bye. And then she tries to blow him up. But she's just so like, here we go. Let's just do this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like the action scene in this. And I also want to point out Frances Bay, who plays older Phoebe. Do you recognize her, Sean?
I do not, but I do now because of your notes.
Yes. Okay, so this woman has been in everything. She is a legend. Not very known as far as movies, but TV, she's definitely done her share of guest starring. But she did pop up in a few movies, whether the role is big or small, including Big Top Pee-wee, Happy Gilmore, Arachnophobia. That's where I remember her the most. She also played a witch in one of the Tales from the Crypt episodes. And she was in the Clueless TV show, as well as Sean Beyond Belief.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't remember the episode she was in, but I was looking at her filmography, and she's just been working since forever. But I love Frances Bay. She's an awesome actress. So I remember watching this for the first time. I was, you know, very high on the whole Arachnophobia bit, and I really remembered her from her. So it was nice to kind of see her pop up. But yeah, I think she's a wonderful actress. So glad she was in this one. So little Phoebe is scared out of her wits. Despite the sister's efforts to comfort her, Cole walks into the attic, and old Phoebe slaps him across the face and curses at him. You bastard. Old Phoebe and present Phoebe head to present Phoebe's room. Paige asks for Cole's help. In addition to identifying the demon that attacked them, when he suddenly flames to the underworld again. Oh, I love this, right? I love that Phoebe did not tell Cole why she cast the spell, and that it's her fucking business, and me and her will deal with it. Thank you very much. And then she was like, nervous? Are you worried? She was already at 100 coming into the future.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she obviously did not like Cole seeing him for the first time. So did you have any thoughts as to like, what happened to them in the future, or was that really the answer? Like, don't marry him, because obviously she's pissed off. How would you react to that, like, first interaction between those two?
Well, I'm still going with my initial reaction. I think Cole turns evil and has to be stopped. So I think this lady from the future has lived that life of having to vanquish Cole and see him go all dark, and that's why she's reacting the way she is.
Gotcha. The seer tells him the source brought him there to tell her something, and so Cole sincerely wants to stay good, but the seer thinks the source is getting closer to taking him over. She wants him to get back to the sisters in case Curzon attacks again. Old Phoebe and present Phoebe look through a photo album. Old Phoebe is somewhat bitter, saying that she had a lot of promise. And present Phoebe senses that she knows something about Cole, but old Phoebe doesn't want to risk changing the timeline, which I think is very important, and it makes complete sense that Phoebe would not rush to tell her what happened. And so present Phoebe notices that old Phoebe isn't wearing a wedding ring. Good observation. I love that. And is convinced the spell would not have worked if there wasn't something she was supposed to know. And so old Phoebe still isn't willing to say anything. So yeah, this whole thing about time travel and such, and as you were referencing, this is similar to an X-Men story. Do you think it's cool for Phoebe, and well, I mean, Phoebe didn't know what would happen, but in your Beast analogy, is it okay to just bring people back from past and future and shit and, you know, possibly fuck up everything?
No, it's not okay, because as we saw in X-Men, they had to, like, first they couldn't get them back to the past because the past had changed so much, and then they had to, when they did figure out how to put them back, they had to, like, completely wipe their minds up to that point, so they had no knowledge of the future they were living. And then, like you said, when you have, like, Phoebe from the future, anything that she says to present Phoebe is going to make a new road for this Phoebe to travel down and change things.
So I immediately always go to a place where if something like this happens, that means it wasn't the first time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's funny that Phoebe is reacting. So do you think there is like a continuous time loop of her going back to this point when she reaches that age?
That's what I think. Yeah, I think things just replay and replay until something changes it, if it changes it.
Yeah.
Little Phoebe is hiding in the corner and doesn't believe that Piper and Leo are trying to help her because Grams taught her Stranger Danger. That's a good Grams.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the street. Man, Piper was pissed. She was like, oh, this bitch, I'm about to slap her. Get her away from me. I cannot with her. God, that was so funny.
And present Phoebe comes down and tells little Phoebe who everyone is. Present Phoebe also shows little Phoebe her photo album, and little Phoebe recognizes it as a Christmas gift from their father. Just then, Cole comes back in. Little Phoebe drools all over herself and is enthralled by him. And present Phoebe tells him he's their fiancé. Little Phoebe calls him their prince. Present Phoebe remembers that Cinderella had been her favorite story as a child. The sisters and Leo go to check the book, leaving Cole with little Phoebe. Curzon comes to the seer and is angry that she didn't tell him he was going after the charmed ones. He's ready to kill her on the spot, but the seer tells him that she knows of Phoebe's spell. She suggests that he kill little Phoebe. Since her powers are still bound, she won't be able to defend herself. Little Phoebe's death will kill present Phoebe as well, permanently shattering the power of three.
I just imagine the seer just saying, oh, the heart of a child in a mother's care. So all we need is a heart. A child's heart. Do you know where that's from?
It sounds so familiar, and I know I should know where it's from.
I would love to quote her, but unfortunately she's not a witch. This is Eartha Kitt from Ernest Scared Stupid.
Oh, okay. I remember now. You had that on one time, too, when I was there.
Yeah. So it looks like Phoebe, at the age of 10 years old, loves drugged-up men who look like shit. Cole is deteriorating as we speak, and I love how the whole entire family did not notice how pale he looked, red eyes. He just looked like he was high. And Phoebe, you know, little Phoebe's like, who is this hunk?
Right, and, like, this is the point where they should be looking into it more, because he's doing weird shit again, like, I have a migraine, brr, 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 and I look like shit, but I look like I'm on meth. Oh, okay, that's just Cole.
Right? Yeah. So the sisters find Curzon in the book, and Leo tells them that he's powerful enough they'll need the power of three to vanquish him. Just then, they hear little Phoebe screaming downstairs. Curzon is back. And he throws an energy ball at little Phoebe. But Cole jumps in front of it. The energy ball doesn't even affect him, much to Curzon's surprise. He recognizes Cole as Balthazar and is surprised to find him alive. Cole conjures up a dagger and throws it at Curzon. When that doesn't faze him, Cole throws a fireball at him. And then Curzon finally realizes that Cole is now the source. And shimmers out just as the sisters and Leo get downstairs. They find little Phoebe passed out, and she comes to and thanks Cole for saving her. Aww. So, don't be stupid, gang. Now, Cole just survived an attack from someone that Piper couldn't even blow up. How did he protect her? Think. I don't get it. I don't understand how they just let this slide. and he just magically saves her. I was like, come on, I don't get this. I don't get it.
I have some questions, Cole. Little Phoebe doesn't remember much of the attack. Paige nearly blurts out that she's her sister, all grown up, but present Phoebe cuts her off and says she's their cousin. Leo realizes that Curzon is trying to permanently destroy the Charmed Ones and orbs Little Phoebe away for safekeeping.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of, like, kid vibes right now. It's like, okay, we've had enough little kids on screen for one episode. I'm getting Jenny flashbacks. Time for her to go. Find some for her to do. We got to take her out. She can't be there. There's no room for kids on this show. Like, gotta go.
You mentioned Jenny. That brings me back.
I know.
You know what's funny is a lot of people who, like, I talk to about Charmed, if I bring up Dan, they're like, who's Dan?
Are you serious? Yeah. Freaking haters, man. Dan is like the only hottest man in the world. No, I'm kidding. I love Dan. Oh, I love Dan. Let's move on.
All right.
We're on season four. We're on season four, Sean. We're on season four.
Paige finds the dagger, but Cole says it's Curzon's. He also says that he stabbed Curzon with it and got them enough blood that they can scry for him. The sisters wonder how Curzon could have known about Phoebe's spell. Cole suspects the seer told him. Piper reflects on Dan. Present Phoebe again tries to get old Phoebe to tell her what she knows about Cole. Even when present Phoebe mentions Curzon's attack, old Phoebe still won't talk. She goes to the attic just as Piper is copying a spell to vanquish Curzon from the book. Paige is crying for Curzon and finds him on the other side of town. Meanwhile, in the background, there's a picture of Dan.
We then go to Cole, who flames through the underworld again to confront the seer. The seer tells him that his love for Phoebe is the only thing that's keeping him from becoming the source and taking over. And without Phoebe, he'll be strong enough to vanquish Curzon himself. Cole says that his love for Phoebe is all that's keeping him alive at this point. However, he refers to himself in the third person, a sign that the source is starting to take over. The seer still wants Phoebe dead, but Cole threatens to kill the seer the next time she betrays him. Cole flames back to the manor and finds old Phoebe waiting for him. Old Phoebe says that she eventually found out Cole was the source, and she not only broke off the engagement but helped her sisters vanquish him as well. So, Sean, did you think this is how their future went?
Based on where I think the show is going and based on her being such a grumpy old hag, that's exactly what I thought, actually.
Okay. All right. So they did not get married is what you're... Because I actually was surprised that she said that she broke off the engagement. Her answer was no. Like, she did not go through with it. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I don't know if I reflected too much on, like, whether they got married or not. So I guess that part was a surprise. But I had a feeling that she knew he turned evil from the minute the old woman showed up.
Gotcha. So however, she spent many years wondering what might have been and hopes there's a chance to save him before she tells present Phoebe. So her plan was to really keep it bottled up until she got Cole alone and tried to see if he can be saved. And Cole doesn't think that he can be saved. The source is starting to overwhelm him, and just then Curzon shimmers in. So let me just point out at this point, from their discussion, Cole doesn't really believe that he can change what's about to come and that they're probably going to end up having the same future. And so old Phoebe decides, well, I'm just going to tell present Phoebe now. Since you can't be saved, she needs to know. But then Curzon shows up. So, yeah, I'll just go on because I have a question about that. So the sisters just miss Curzon. And Paige scries for him again and finds him at the manor. And so Piper suggests that Paige orb them back there. And Paige doesn't think she can. She's still trying to handle orbing from one room to another. Piper persuades her to try, and Paige starts to orb away with Phoebe, but has to pick up Piper as well. Did you believe that Paige was successful in this orbing with two people attached to her after all of these mishaps before? Or do you just think she's just that good?
I figured she'd be successful. It's very similar to like what Nightcrawler went through with his powers. So I felt like they wouldn't like have her try it if she wouldn't be successful at this point. But I did get a nice little laugh about her leaving Piper behind, but then like reaching back out for her.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed the conversation between older Phoebe and Cole. I thought it was very believable. You know, we've only seen this woman for what, like 5 minutes of screen time, but I feel that it was Phoebe and Cole talking to each other. And even though she's a lot older than Cole at the moment, I kind of ship them in a way to where it just like made sense that those two have a past and they were talking it out. And again, that to me is just from the brilliance of older Phoebe, Frances Bay. I just like her acting, and I really enjoyed the scene.
Curzon knocks Cole down with an energy ball. Cole recovers and throws a fireball, but misses. Old Phoebe helps Cole up. Curzon shimmers behind them and rushes at Cole with a sword, but old Phoebe jumps in front of Cole, proving that she still loves him. Just then, the sisters orb in and vanquish Curzon with the spell Piper found earlier. Hell threw you from its inner core, but earth won't hold you anymore. Since heaven cannot be your place, your flesh and blood we now erase. Old Phoebe, with her last ounce of strength, tells present Phoebe that she has her answer. Leah orbs back in with little Phoebe and tries to heal old Phoebe, but it's too late. Old Phoebe and little Phoebe disappear. The spell has apparently worked the way it was intended. Paige turns the promotion down. She can't, in good conscience, use magic to change someone's future. Phoebe, having remembered Cinderella and seen old Phoebe save Cole's life, decides to marry him. Unknown to them both, the seer is observing them in one of her visions.
Okay, so a lot to unpack. We had our final fight scene here, and we see that older Phoebe sacrificed herself. First of all, she tries to help him up. I'm like, Cole is the source. He can get his own ass up and fight. He better use some of this strength. I love how this old woman tried to carry him up from the ground.
She has manners.
I guess so. But she sacrifices herself. Phoebe finds her and she says, "You got your answer." So just 2 minutes ago, she was like, "I'm going to tell him you're the source and she'll have to break it off because I'm not going through this again." And then she sacrificed herself and says, "You're the one. I mean, you're the one. You have your answer." So I don't know exactly what was happening here. Was she too much in love with him to let him go and would rather just go through the hell that they went through as long as they were together? Or did she suddenly have hope that he's worth saving? I don't know exactly what changed her mind all of a sudden, but technically in that moment, she changed the future. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not the reality that is supposed to happen. And because she agreed to marry him and she didn't say no. So what do you think about like this sort of change that it now changed the future? Should she have known the truth about him right then and there?
So my take on it is, seeing Cole again, she realized, she remembered, you know, how much she was in love with him. And I'm sure a part of her, much like in real life, a part of her probably wondered, like, if she stuck by him and married him and showed that she loved him, if maybe he would have worked harder on defeating the source. So there's probably that small tinge of regret that came to the surface. So that's why she wants her past self to marry him, to see if that will change the way things go if she's by his side.
I can understand that. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. And all right, I'll allow it.
I really love this storytelling because you have somebody like me in particular who's looking at the season like, well, it's Avi, Cole's going to turn evil and they're going to have to kill him. And then you have an episode that tells you, hey, this is what happened. And now I'm like, shit. Now I have to go back to the drawing board and wonder what the hell's going to happen because it's not that obvious anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad the show's keeping you on your toes a little bit. I feel bad for young Phoebe, though. This woman's going to go back to a 10-year-old person having seen a dead body, not only a dead body, but herself. I would be in so much therapy, but apparently Phoebe ended up the exact same person that she is today. Do you call shenanigans?
No, because when you think about it, when this Phoebe was 10 years old, she went through this whole thing, and then she just kind of forgot about it because it was so quick and convinced herself it didn't happen, and it shaped her into the Phoebe she is today. Cycles, Rob. Cycles.
All right, all right. Well, we'll let it go. We'll let it go. and then we get to the very last scene where Phoebe wants to marry Cole. Cole's like, it's still in my plans to do it, even though he knows he's the source. So I have two things. Do you think that's Cole talking, or do you think that's the source talking?
I think that was Cole talking. I think Cole's working under the assumption that he's going to be able to control this and fix this, and he doesn't want to get the sisters involved.
Okay. Well, from there, Phoebe straight up asks him, are you keeping something from me? And he straight up lied.
Mm-hmm.
That moment literally changes everything.
I agree.
He lied. Like, I don't know how clear you can be at that moment. There was no confusion, no frustration, no tuggle between old Cole and the source. He literally looked her in the eye and said no. And I was like, damn. Watching this again, I just thought that was so fucked up, because who is Phoebe to question that? You know, they've just already been through hell, and like, this is it. Like, what other doubt do I have? I want to marry you. And he straight just lied to her, and I just like, damn, that's really messed up.
Yeah, and I think that makes, you know, they have a clean slate on the future, and this makes it even worse, because if somebody lies to you, that's harder to forgive than, like, you just didn't tell me. But no, now I asked you directly, and you made a conscious decision to lie to me to my face.
Exactly, exactly. So, that was the three faces of Phoebe. Sean, what'd you think of the episode?
I actually really like this episode. I think it, like I said, it keeps it fresh. It's very like Days of Future Past, where we get to see the bad future first, and now we get to see like how they can change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's worth the wait, Rob.
Oh, it is worth the wait. Awesome. 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 Good. Good. Well, hopefully we continue that streak. The story just like turns on its head starting next week. So we definitely have some more story to look forward to. Just a couple of notes from the episode that I thought I should share with all of you. This is the first time that Paige consciously, oh God, that goddamn word, consciously orbs over a distance. It is also revealed that the source is blocking Phoebe's premonition about Cole. So while he was inside of, you know, that's why she couldn't get it. The fact that Paige didn't orb Piper at first mirrors Piper's initial rejection of her at the beginning of the season. Do you think that that was something the writers thought about? Being like, oh yeah, you didn't like me before, haha, I'm just going to take Phoebe.
I think so. I think they've made a lot of very early conscious decisions for the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The three phases of Phoebe takes place just about a week after Charmed and Dangerous did, because Paige says last week, referring to helping Carolyn. Leo states that orbs burns a lot of calories. So even when he was a sloth, orbing up from downstairs to upstairs, he was burning calories. the title of the episode is a reference to the movie The Three Faces of Eve from 1957. I have never heard of this word. Or this movie before, have you?
I have not.
And last, we have Curzon, Harry Von Gorkum. Very impressive long resume of filmography as well, Sean. But what stood out to me the most was that he was an MC on Batman and Robin.
Oh, really?
And I think I may know exactly what part. But, yeah, he was on Batman and Robin, so if we ever watch that again, that'll give us something to look into.
Actually, I've been Anthony has never seen any of the four of those, so we're gonna watch them all soon, so I'm gonna keep an eye out for that.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully he enjoys those movies.
Well, the second one at least.
Okay. All right, so now it is time to judge some men and do this episode's Hot Man Meetup. All right, it looks like that we have three possible men to join our list, Sean. First, let's do our Demon of the Week. We have Curzon, played by Harry Von Gorkum. Does this gentleman with the leather jacket make it your top 10 list?
You know, Rob, I can't in good conscience allow anybody who is in Batman and Robin to be on my list, unless it's Chris O'Donnell.
Fair enough. Curzon just did not do it for me. He was a little too dark. He was about to kill a kid and didn't hesitate at all. So, yeah, I'm gonna pass on him as well. We do have Curzon's assistant who doesn't trust the seer at all. I don't know if you noticed him. It's Andrew Abelson as Jax. Does he make your top 10 list if you remember?
He does not.
Okay, so he doesn't make my list either, but I do see heavy potential in him. So I looked him up, Sean. This man glows up so well. I'm just gonna pause for, well, I don't know if you have your phone in front of you. You need to look this man up on IMDb. He looks great. He looks so good. I kind of want to put him on my list so I can put his present photo up. Yeah, he looks really good now.
You're funny.
And then we have just a very small cameo, but the very nice and genuine co-worker of Paige, Scott, who is up for the promotion, is played by Kristen Kieber. Does Scott make your top 10 list? I mean, he's a good Samaritan, does great for the, you know, the people he gives and get, you know, what do you think about him?
He's all right, but he doesn't make it.
No? Okay. I didn't get much of him on screen to really make a distinction if I needed him on my list or not, so I'm gonna pass as well. All right, well, that concludes our Hot Man Meter. Did any of these men make your list? Remember, guys, we are doing a Charmy Hot Man Meter at the end of the season, so I hope you guys are making your own top 10 list as we go along with each episode, because at the end of the season, I'll ask for you to turn in those lists, and I will consolidate all of your choices and make one big list for all of you listeners. You're sampling the best. All right, Sean, who is MVP this week?
All right, this person has caught my eye before, but they were pretty awesome in this one. I just love the way the seer, I think she's beautiful, and I love the way she's like pulling all these different strings. I feel like she's the unknown element that is gonna keep on making the show interesting and keep on making things happen behind the scenes.
Okay. All right. The seer makes it awesome. Was there anything different from this episode than her other appearance that made your list today, but not last week when we first met her?
I feel like she was a close contender on last episode, but I think what kind of made it different this time was she was more of an underling in the last episode until the end, and then she was kind of a hero in a way until she revealed that she turned Cole to the source. So I feel like she becomes this dark character at the end of last episode, and we get to see her like full-fledged villain this full episode.
That's fair. Got it. Cool. All right, so my MVP is going to older Phoebe. Of course, I've just been praising her throughout this whole episode. I really liked her appearance in this, and she was also, again, the character smart enough not to dive full into what happens in the future to possibly change it for the worse. Yeah, I just enjoyed her character. She made me laugh, and she just holds great conviction in trying to, you know, do best for Cole and even sacrifice herself. I think she definitely held her own in this episode.
I can see that. Good choice.
Okay, so next week on Charmed, we have Merry Go Round.
Merry Go Round? I have no idea. M-A-R-R-Y?
Yep.
I don't know. Is it a Christmas episode, Rob?
No, that's M-E-R-R-Y. You are hilarious.
I don't even know what to guess. I guess there's somebody named Mary in it with two R's. I don't know what the go around would come into play as.
You are so hilarious. If there was any title in this season that you would get, it would be this one. But that's okay. If you are totally in the dark, then that means next episode will just be amazing. So we'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Join us next week, everyone, for another new episode. We are not taking any breaks so far. We're going through this, even though we are stuck apart from each other. We hope you all are staying safe and indoors and helping the population get better by doing your part to just stay put. All right. That'll do it for us. We hope you enjoyed our episode. Thank you so much for listening, of course. And enjoy the rest of your brunch. Sean, say goodbye to the folks.
Thank you for all the birthday wishes. Love you, Charmies.